Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Talking Shop with Zyber. I'm Waldo, and today you will notice sitting next to me is not the Leo Meister. It is actually Mr. David, who you guys would have been following on Cup of Coffee with David, or what was it called?
Cup of Caffeine with David.
No, I love that. We've actually got some good feedback on those there, and they were amazing. Welcome to the seat, mate.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Yeah, I know. I think was it Leo that was at a petrol station and someone's like, hey, I know your podcast. Like, yeah. you are Leo. So it's amazing to get recognized on the street now with the Talking Shop podcast.
So bizarre. Anyways, look, it's been months and months since you've sat on this seat, actually. So what have you been up to?
Oh, you know, just keeping quiet, just hiding in the background.
Yeah, right. We know you really well. You've been busy out there.
Definitely. No, it's been a very good time. And I think lots of exciting stuff happening, both at Zyber, both in the whole ecosystem.
Absolutely.
Obviously, lots of exciting apps doing lots of exciting things.
So. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly why we're here today. So today we actually have one of our favorite app partners on board, and representing them is Lindsay Kalinski, who's the senior marketing lead at Okendo. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello, everyone. Good to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the show. It's been a while since we've had Okendo on the podcast. I think the last time we had Okendo on was Scott, and this was probably a good 18 months, 2 years ago. Welcome to the show. And I think probably a great place for us to start is introduce yourself to the listeners. We're not sure who's listening right now, so maybe start with yourself and then we can move into, for those who have been living under a rock, what Okendo is.
Perfect. Well, thanks for the intro. Like I said, so excited to be here. I'm Lindsay Kalinski. I'm the senior marketing lead at Okendo. I've been in e-commerce for about 5 years now and just celebrated my 2 year specifically with Okendo. So super excited about that. But I have come from both marketing, sales, CS, kind of done the whole go-to-market, partner marketing, now back to all marketing and demand gen. So really excited to be here and to talk shop with you guys. And Okendo, for those who don't know, we are a customer marketing platform for Shopify and Shopify Plus brands. So we power about 8,000 leading fast-growing brands, Skims, Netflix, a few others, you know, a ton of big names there. But in terms of our products, we are mainly known for our reviews products, best in class, if I must say so myself, as well as our surveys product. And then coming soon, we are releasing a referrals product as well. So really, how can you bring all of your data, all of your customers together, your brand advocacy. So we're really excited for that next evolution of Okendo.
Yeah. And look, you were just mentioning some of the brands that you work with. And yeah, you know, you skim right over them. Sorry for the pun. But I also noticed right on the homepage there is Feastables, who, you know, for those who are watching us on YouTube, you probably know who Mr. Beast is. And man, that brand has really taken off. How's it been working with that particular brand?
Oh, they have been great. So Jess Cervejo, and I think her title is head of CX for them. She is a huge Okendo advocate, which is fantastic. And she's, you know, not only doing reviews, but she's doing so much from a surveys side and really like taking deep. And she's so passionate about it. Talking with her has just been, I love just being in a conversation with her. But they're doing some really, really cool things. With their post-purchase surveys in particular. So she'll ask, you know, the NPS question, how did you feel? But then she digs deeper because she really truly understands that post-purchase like side of things and that moment of engagement is one of the highest, you know, places where you're going to get that information. So she just uses it to ask, you know, demographic information, what's your age, especially with Feastables. She's like, now I could be working with a 17-year-old boy who knows Mr. Beast, or I could be working with, you know, their grandmother who just likes the product. So really understanding that, asking things like where do you want to see us in retail stores, all of that. So they have been a great brand to work with from just, you know, an internal side, but also just it's always fun to work with people who really see the value of, you know, having these products and really maximize their use of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, I watch quite a bit of YouTube, probably a bit more than I should, but you know, that operation is so massive, just the Mr. Beast brand. And then you look at the Feastables and the way they've been able to get it into Walmart and just the rate that it's going at. I even saw a video with with Gordon Ramsay reviewing Feastables over another chocolate. And, you know, maybe it was paid for, maybe not, who knows? But Gordon Ramsay was actually like, this is some of the best chocolate. And they had like $100 chocolate and then a block of Feastables. And he just did like a live review, which, I mean, you know, brings it right back to what we're talking about. Obviously, review, surveys, all these types of things. I don't know if you wanted to maybe share some examples of the ways that particular merchants that you guys have worked with have really successfully leveraged that post-sale experience to drive that customer retention.
Yeah. So I think there's, you know, a few interesting things. And the way I look at it is, you know, one tech stack, how are you kind of going to bring all the elements of your tech stack together to form a really strong post-purchase experience? Because again, getting someone with the cost of acquisition right now is so high that you have to retain them. You know, you can't afford to have a bad experience there. So one is, of course, obviously getting that review from them. And how do you get that review from them? So we've seen a few customers, you know, whether they're using Klaviyo email or SMS, really making sure that they're asking at the right moment and in the way that the customer wants to be communicated with them. So if they've opted into SMS, send it via SMS. If they haven't, send it over email, really going by their preference. That's really one key thing as well. But then once you get the review, actually offering an incentive to give the review. So saying, you know, even tiering those incentives, right? So if you leave a review, great, I'll give you 10% off your next order or $5 off your next order. Or if you add a photo and video, maybe that goes up to $15 or 15% off. So encouraging them to get more of that, putting that incentive really like high up front. One, this is going to help you get more reviews that are going to help you convert new customers, but it's also going to help you retain that existing customer because you just gave them a reason to come back. And especially if they're a happy reviewer. So going back to that idea of then, okay, you've gotten a review. Now, what can you do with it? So if it's a 5-star review, asking that person to refer a friend, you know, they're already probably, again, Mr. Beast, YouTube, word of mouth marketing, it's probably already happening, but how can you track it and leverage it and get more of it? So asking people that you know are already happy with your brand, whether that's a 5-star review or even, you know, an NPS promoter, any other indicator that you're getting there, that's really key. And again, that's going to get you new customers at a lower price, offering an incentive again for them to refer their friend, but also their new friend gets an incentive as well. You're just driving more revenue again with a channel that you already had. You know, these are your happy customers. And then the flip side as well, if you know that, you know, you got a bad review, how can you proactively reach out to that customer? So, you know, we integrate really well with Gorgeous. We also have Zendesk and customer integrations as well. If you're, you know, automating that and saying anytime we get a 1-2-star review, send it to your customer service team. Make sure that you can save that sale. And oftentimes, you know, just being proactive with that is going to ensure that you know, if you have a good customer service team, that you're able to like set all of that. So I think it's really, again, like I said, it's your tech stack, making sure it all works together, but being able to get that customer feedback and then leveraging the next steps based on like those indicators that the customers are giving you.
Yeah, I think that customer service piece is so important, right? And one of the things that I personally love about Akendo is the ability to publicly respond to reviews. Like, I think from a customer experience point of view, like, customers are pretty realistic, right? Like, they know that not every single person is going to be 100% happy. Like, if I'm a consumer, I actually, my colleagues will probably make fun of me, but I just bought 2 new pans and I get very excited about this stuff because I love cooking. Lisa's looking at me right now. And so I spend a fair bit of time reading reviews. But then, like, as a consumer, of course, I expect that there's going to be some 2-stars, there's going to be some 3-stars because someone is going to not know how to use the pan properly and, you know, complain that it's not like that the food is sticking. And then as a consumer, I'm pretty reasonable, right? I'm like, oh, well, clearly they need some education around how to use this product. But I think the ability to publicly respond to anything that comes in is really crucial because it actually shows that care factor from a brand point of view. Like, hey, these guys go to next mile for their customers. They actually care enough to respond. And you're not responding to that person necessarily. Like, if you can turn them around, great, but you're not necessarily responding to that person. You're actually responding to new customers looking at the product, right?
Yeah, I think that's such a great piece. I think people are so afraid of the negative reviews and the negative feedback. And they're like, I don't want reviews because I don't want the negative. And Actually, we find that conversion is highest at about 4.2 to 4.5 stars because, like you said, consumers are smart. They know not everything is a 5-star review, and it shows you're authentic. Like you're putting the good, the bad, everything out there. And I love that part about you're not responding to that person. You're responding to the whole community. Put it publicly. Let everyone know that, like, if something were to go wrong, you're there. And I think the other thing too is, like, with reviews, being able to filter, find people like you, you have the ability to be like, okay, like, you know, if I have curly hair and I'm looking at this product that's meant for straight hair, again, there's an educational piece to it, but I'm seeing all the negative reviews are coming from people with curly hair. Well, maybe that prompts me that this isn't the right product, but let me see what else, you know, they have, who's like me and who's happy with the same attributes and needs that I have. And I think all of that data and publicly displaying that data of, like, allows customers to find people that are like them and to find that right product as well.
Yeah, I always, when I talk about attributes, I look at the Inky List, right, which is a fantastic skincare brand that does, like, quite affordable skincare. This is not a sponsorship for Inky List, but I quite like their products. I'm actually a big fan of skincare products. But I always find, like, you know, you'll get negative reviews, but for me as a, like, mid-30s male, like, you know, if it's a 75-year-old female with oily skin, like, it's not relevant to me, right? So, like, I love that being able to use the attributes and being able to filter as a customer, like, actually let me look at something that's people like me.
Yeah,
it always, it just gets to me when I land on some websites, and obviously being in the industry, I look at a lot to see how some, even large brands, just do not place the emphasis that I feel is needed on that post-purchase experience, because you've just got someone to give them your credit card, give you their credit card number, right? Like, in a world like today where people are so scared about this stuff, they just gave you their money. Now you've got an open dialogue with that particular customer. If you've got a really good product, then you have the right to go to them and say, hey, you must love my product. I hope you do anyway. And then in return for coming back, like, I've seen people utilize this to grow their loyalty schemes. I've seen people use this obviously to drive user generated content, which they can then repurpose on their social media platforms. I mean, there's so many things about Akendo that we can touch on, you know, the integration with the Google sales channel to be able to get that star rating right there on the product, super, super powerful. And if those, for those of you who don't place enough emphasis on that whole post-purchase experience and getting some feedback from your clients, well, you're missing out in two prong. You're missing out on valuable data that you're capturing in order to make your product or your service better. And two, utilizing that word of mouth, you know, like, this is the new world of word of mouth. And, you know, in the past, there was nothing more powerful than word of mouth. Well, in the digital space, this is your replacement for that. And you can just utilize it in so many more ways, because word of mouth sometimes can be misconstrued where, yeah, you could just be a little bit biased and it's just your word against that. This is written, it's signed, it's date stamped, it's got a profile photo. It's like, how much stronger do you need this to be? And yeah, so it really just gets to me sometimes when I see people don't putting enough emphasis on that. But I think one of the key things that comes in there is really, like, the personalization of that. Because if you're just going to come to me and say, thanks for buying our product, please leave a review, that's really crappy. Now, I do buy a lot of products online and I do review products as well. And quite often what I find is that immediate notification that I get and what is in the subject line, you know, like, what is in there for me? So if you're going to give people an incentive, like, try and capture their attention as fast as you can. Put something in the subject line that says, you know, free shipping on your next order in return for your review, and put a few emojis in there and get crafty with it. You know, like, we're living in a world of creators, and, you know, creativity needs to live everywhere throughout our messaging.
Yeah, and I think for me, like, the key piece with it, because the reward engine is super powerful, right? And it can really help you drive that return traffic, but it needs to make sense for the merchant. So, like, we're working with a bedding retailer. Now, it's great. Mm. You buy a fantastic bed, you love it. But giving 10% off your next order that expires in 6 months from now is probably not going to be the most successful strategy, right? So we worked creatively to kind of go, okay, how can we incentivize here? And we actually give away some really high quality pillows. So we put customers into a drawer to get a pillow, basically. And that's the carrot, to leave a review, because they can win something. And so I think, yeah, even though, like, and it's maybe an extreme example because it is a very long purchase cycle and therefore it doesn't make sense. But, you know, we can really work kind of on a way to make that work for any type of merchant.
Yeah, for sure. But from you, Lindsay, like, what are some of the effective ways that you've seen companies tailor these interactions and communications to create that personalized and engaged experience?
Yeah. So in terms of the actual, like, post review, or sorry, the actual review generation, asking for that review, I mean, we have a really strong integration with Klaviyo. And that's, again, going to what you said, make sure it's in your brand. Like, you have this opportunity. Of course, we do have an email rewards engine. You can customize it and do all that. But if you're already personalizing your emails and kind of giving them a personality of their own within your brand, that's just going to, again, make it more impactful and having fun with it, putting that incentive right up front. In terms of just personalization in general and how that's working, I'd say, like, one of the strongest things, just taking a step back and going back to that idea of, like, collecting the data and getting all that zero party data is so key. You can't power personalization without that. You know, at the end of the day, yes, you can say hi, first name, or like, here's an offer, but the more you can get that one-to-one data about that customer directly from them, especially with, you know, cookies leaving and all of that, it is so impactful. And what I'll say about reviews in particular, going back to that, like, the filtering idea, right? When I bought the product, I probably used the filters in the review. I know what you're using that for. I see it. So, like, in this data privacy, like, everyone's scared to give away their data. Asking for it in a review is such a, like, trustworthy way for that, like, for people to give that to you. Like, they're like, oh, I'm getting an incentive. And two, like, I know why you're asking me this question. It's not like it's coming out of the blue. Like, are you asking me what type of hair type I have? No, like, they see they probably used it. So I think reviews are just such a natural way to get that data that it's trustworthy. And they're more likely to give it to you. And then on top of that, once you have that data, and of course, you can also ask in a survey, get all that zero party data. One thing that I think works really well is, like, of course, the upsell cross sell, right? Like, that's a, you know, what they like, what products they might like based on their attributes. But I think one thing that's, like, a long-term play is content and content building and using that for personalization. So again, if you know I have curly hair, it's not necessarily, like, right away saying, like, here's a product for your curly hair. It's saying, like, here's an email with information on how to maintain your curly hair in the dry winter, right? Like, feeling like this, like, here's a product that can help you and here's how to use it. I think that, like, educational piece, or even going a step further of, like, if you know, this person likes yoga and you're sponsoring yoga, like, in their area, like, send them an invite. So I think there's a lot of, like, that relationship building long-term retention play that's not just the immediate, like, upsell cross sell personalization. There's a lot you can get from really asking customers, like, what they care about and how they're using their products.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's for me one of my favorite parts, right? Because we can get this data back and actually turn it into, like, personalization effort in all the different channels that you might communicate with a customer. So, like, we have, you know, some examples where we're using data from a Kindle reviews in Klaviyo pop-ups, which are called sign-up forms for some reason, even though they're not necessarily sign-up forms. And we actually personalize based on what they said on the on their review, what happens when they next hit the website, and, like, have custom CTAs that are targeted at them. So yeah, there's some very cool kind of use cases, I think, of how to actually use that data. And then you've kind of touched on surveys, but I'm keen to chat a bit more about some of the stuff that you, or, you know, what is the product, maybe for those people that haven't seen, you know, they know Okendo for reviews, they haven't sort of heard about this. Tell us more.
So Okendo surveys, we call them micro surveys, but essentially you can make them any length. But we basically have post multi-channel surveys. So the main one, of course, being post-purchase, I think that's the one everyone's most familiar with. But we can also do shareable links on site and post-review as well. So someone just submits a review. They're like, great, here's some more questions for you. Here's some more engagement. And like I said, we like to think of them as micro surveys in the sense of, like, again, you can ask as many questions, but generally 3 to 5 is the sweet spot of like making sure you're getting survey completions and getting the most amount of data. But we have pre-built templates. So you can do, you know, NPS already built, you know, CSAT, CES, you can do zero party data. So again, that like, what do you care about? What hair type do you have? What type of jewelry do you like? All of those questions, as well as post-purchase marketing attribution is a really strong use case that we've seen. So a little separate from the idea of zero party data necessarily, but asking them, how did you hear about us? You know, oftentimes with attribution, you know, 5 different places are saying they're going to take the credit for it. Google wants it. This ad wants it, all of that. But you can actually ask, where did you hear us from? You know, and oftentimes it's going to be that I heard you from a friend, or I heard about you from TikTok, or I heard about you from here. It's usually not what's going to be what actually like drove them to your website. So that's a really strong case, especially again, customer acquisition costs are going up and being able to actually hear from your customers. And especially at a point of post-purchase, right? When the engagement is so high, they're most likely to answer, I think about 50% response rate at the post-purchase. At the post-purchase touch point. So just being able to get as much of that data as you can directly from your customers and to stop relying, not necessarily relying, but only relying on, you know, the marketing attribution sources is going to make sure you're investing in the right channels. So again, it's not necessarily related to that customer directly, but it's going to help you as a brand know where to invest to get future customers. And I think, again, just playing into surveys and Jess at Feastables is really big on this, right? It's getting that feedback loop that not just only feeds into personalization, but it feeds into operations, it feeds into marketing, it feeds into all the other areas of your business when you are able to just get those answers directly from your customers.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful, right? Like we actually, that attribution question, we had a customer that was investing a lot of money into radio advertising. And we're asking this question, right? Like, where did you hear about us? And it was 1.7% of customers answered with, I heard you on the radio. And then the question is, well, you know, you're spending a lot of money here. It's very difficult to track, but at least we have some indication now. But like, what return on investment is that bringing? And then as we start collating this information, because obviously all that data feeds back into Klaviyo, we can actually segment customers that have listened to a radio ad and have come to the website that way. And we can now understand like how much revenue are we getting from customers over lifetime that have listened to a radio ad and found us that way versus like whatever other answer they give, right? So yeah, I think that's really cool.
I was going to say a podcast, right? Like if you're a brand investing in a podcast, something like that, that's hard. But if you can get that, I heard about you from the podcast, cool. Now you know to say, hey, we have a new episode coming out, check it out, get those people involved. So yeah, it's really great events, all of those non-traditional, like trackable marketing activities that you're doing to be able just to hear if those are working.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I really like, you kind of mentioned that pre-built library, like there's a lot of different tools out there that can do surveys. But I think for me, one of the most powerful pieces is that you've actually got a tool that is built for e-commerce that has a whole library. Because the hardest part of like creating a survey is like, what should I ask?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You've actually got like a ginormous list already there with recommendations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think like these in-moment surveys as well, I don't think people put enough emphasis on the power of that. You know, for high intent traffic coming through to your website, wanting to buy something, serving up I just want to put this in context for the listeners. So let's say you are selling a multi-category, you've got a multi-category product range. You can create on-page surveys, essentially, that if somebody goes to vitamins, for example, a specific pop-up can appear for him, like, what's the reason you're getting these vitamins? You know, do you get enough sleep at night? You lacking in libido? Like, what are these types of things? Like, why are you here, right? Or like, we've got a lot of pet food brands here at Zyber. So you're like, what type of pet do you have? Like, how often, blah, 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 blah. You can ask like 2 or 3 little quick snap questions. And if it's high intent traffic and they do check out anyway, well, then all of that data gets matched against the email address, and you've got a customer profile. And it's, you know, after you do 100 of them, and then 1,000 of them, and then 10,000 of them, you've got this huge database of segmentation, which you can then use to tailor your messaging. So it's this whole loop that just keeps going around. And that's why we talk about personalization so much on this podcast, because I just don't think people place enough emphasis on it.
Yeah. And I'd say one cool feature that we have, we call contextual targeting, where again, you can, like you said, decide like, who are you showing that survey to and why in those triggers. So going back to that customer profile, one use case I always say is like, if someone didn't leave a review, but in the reviews, like you're wanting to know, again, just going back to the example, like what hair type do you have, but they didn't leave a review, you can target, like, instead of saying like, hey, I don't want to target this person with an NPS. I want to target them. I want to find out what hair type they have because I don't have that in their customer profile. You can use contextual targeting that way too. Or again, why are you on the vitamin page? You don't want someone, you know, on the skincare page say, why are you on the vitamin page today? You want to ask them those specific questions. So being able to target throughout the site, even post-purchase, that's something that a lot of other survey tools aren't really offering, and how you can really tie, you know, the reviews and your surveys together to really truly understand like what this customer is giving you throughout all of the different areas of feedback.
Yeah, I always relate this to, like, I hate some brands who, when I've purchased something from them, and then for like a week or two after that, they're still advertising that product to me. It's like, you're just blasting stuff out there without thinking, costing yourself money. And I'm one of maybe 100,000 you're doing this to. Like, it's just this bucket that's leaking. It's crazy. So super effective tool.
Cool. So one thing that we sort of touched on a little bit earlier, but I want to spend a little bit more time on is, you know, obviously Google is the starting point for a lot of what happens on the internet. Maybe getting a little bit of challenge these days from old Bing, especially with
making a comeback.
Yeah, with ChatGPT coming in there a little bit. But, you know, Google is obviously king in the search space. What can you tell us? Like, I know there's a couple of different integrations and sort of different things happening. Like, what? Why should we care about this piece? Like, what's happening there?
Yeah, so Okendo has always been an official Google Shopping partner. We've recently announced our Google Seller Ratings partnership, which we're super excited about. And really the difference between the two, right? You have the Google Shopping, which is, you know, high-end shoes near me, right? And I'm going to get the image pop. And if you don't have star ratings in there, right? Like, it's just like, why? Why not? If I'm in a search result, I'm a brand, I don't have star ratings in my like product on Google Shopping that I am paying for, and every other brand next to me has ratings, I as a consumer, I'm going to go to the one with the ratings. And absolutely, it's right there. And it's something as simple as just, it's literally just feeding in all your stars from your website. That's the integration. So, you know, again, if you have 2,000 reviews on your e-commerce store on this specific product, that feeds into the Google Shopping ad that you're doing for that specific product. And it's really like numbers and the quality of reviews are things that Google all looks at there. So that helps with your ranking too, to have that. And then in terms of Google Seller Ratings, which we're really excited about, that is about your store rating. So after a product review, so say I left a review for the specific product, you can then ask for the store rating. And that's really just like, how are we as a brand? And with Okendo, you can, like I said, do it right after. So you can implement that. And then when you have a certain number of store ratings, you're eligible to feed those star ratings into your brand like ads. So being able to, you know, if someone is Googling you at a brand level and you're paying for that, injecting those stars. So it's really impactful because again, you're spending so much money to rank for these Google keywords and to do all that. The more social proof you have, whether it's, you know, sure, UGC, all of that, that helps a ton on conversion, but just being able to utilize those star ratings in other channels has such an impact on like your return on ad spend and like just getting that traffic to your site to learn more. And then they'll look at all the amazing UGC and everything else you have. But it really just helps with that acquisition step and leveraging all of that post-sale customer data and feedback that you have into helping you acquire new customers.
Yeah. So what you're basically saying is, one, it's great for merchants because your marketing dollar is going to go further. Two, it's going to be more likely to actually get a click because you've got a star rating there. The consumer has got more information accessible and therefore they're more likely to click. Like it's like a, you know, win for everyone really in this situation. Yeah.
It's such a, like, if you have reviews and you are spending money on Google, integrate it. Like it is just the easiest win that you could do that's going to have such a big impact on your business.
And I think even without like doing massive ad spend, or if you're not, you know, I mean, obviously you've got the rich SEO snippets as well, right? So in your organic results, you'll still have the star ratings feed in for the product, which I think still, like, again, it makes it more attractive to look at, right?
Yeah. And one thing we also always recommend is having a dedicated reviews page. So a page like on your site where you can see all of the reviews across all of the products, that is super great for SEO. The schema and the way it pulls into Google for organic. There's so many people that just Google like company reviews, like so-and-so brand reviews, and that page is going to come up and it's going to be cross product and everything they think about you. So doing that dedicated page is also super helpful from a Google side as well.
That's awesome. So you're helping merchants get more return on their ad spend by making their initial sort of visuals that are served up based on keyword intent to actually give them the maximum amount of traffic that comes through the website. Then when we've got the traffic on the website, we're asking as many questions and you're helping merchants to collect as much data about those, about that traffic as possible. And then after they've bought your product, we are, you know, getting them to actually share that experience with us. Like it's really, really full circle. And I love this suite of products that you guys have. Have you guys got anything new? What's on the horizon for Akendo?
Yeah. So coming soon, we have our referrals product, which we are super excited about. And it is kind of just like a natural progression from reviews. So going back to that customer feedback, you know, a review is essentially social proof from a community, but a community of strangers. So I am able to filter. I am able to find people like me, but I don't know them. What's better than when your friend also says, you know, hey, I think you're really going to like this brand. And it's leveraging that word of mouth marketing again, that's already probably happening, but encouraging your customers to do that. So it's really great. Again, you know, the same incentive engine that powers reviews, you can basically post review or post survey at those high intent places of high sentiment as well. Say, hey, would you like to refer a friend? You get 20% off, they get 20% off. And they're able to type in their friends and be able to say like, hey, I think you're really going to like this brand. Here's my code. And if that friend purchases, both of you get the benefit as well. So it's really about leveraging those customers that you already have. And again, just it's such a low cost acquisition channel that is already out there. To be able to just fully optimize, like, you know, and leverage your happy customers and your happy community.
Yeah, I call it word of mouth on steroids. And you know where I really feel that it is super effective? Yeah, you mentioned your friends, but I think in the workplace. I mean, there's so many instances where, even with David and I, like David got me onto Wise, right? So he sent me a referral link for that. But like, I bring it back to Uber. You're looking at all the biggest companies in the world, guys, that have actually already started using this. So I mean, if you're a brand out there and you're looking for other ways for your brand's name to get out there, this is a amazing example of that.
If anyone listening wants my referral link for Wise, please send me a message on LinkedIn. I'm happy to send it. But I say that jokingly, right? But I've actually made quite decent money because they give you like for every, and they're very clever about it. It's like you have to refer three friends and then you get
and they need to top up an X amount as well. But
I have bought people over the credit card referrals. That one would get like 100,000 points for referring your friend. I used to fight with friends about that. And then I think they caught on and cut that program. But
so with Wise, like I've referred like 15 people now, I think. And awesome. It's because it's actually amazing. Like when you're traveling, like it is genuinely the best solution. But yeah, it's like they've thought through that whole referral piece so well. And you know, it makes that acquisition piece so easy. So the same logic for merchants. Like actually, if I feel strongly enough about the product that you're selling or the brand that you are, like I will tell my friends about it naturally, right? Like why not just prompt me and give both of us something in return for referring? Like it's a no-brainer for me.
And I'd say that the thing too, that's like really great is how many times have you like, again, I could be on a website and like look at the reviews and be like, eh, maybe not now. Like I still need to think about it. Like still not sure if I trust them. And then your friend is like, you're talking about it and they're like, oh no, no, no. I tried it. I loved it. You're going to love it. And then that's what prompts you to finish. And again, that's an off case. We hope everyone after review converts, but it's just maximizing the different channels in which people are talking about you and you're getting that feedback and leveraging that brand advocacy. You know, why not also add a referral program to complement your review strategy?
Oh, that's awesome. And by the time you guys are listening to this podcast, that product will be out and I'm sure you guys will be making a splash on it on your website. Guys, the website, if you want to visit it, is okendo.io or just Google Okendo. I'm sure you will find them. Jump on there, find out all about reviews, all about surveys, and now their new product called Referrals. I was going to ask something else that just flipped my mind, but
I've got another question. Actually. Go for it. Obviously, you know, we talk about UGC, but I want to kind of touch a little bit more on that. Like, what are some of the ways, like for those that sort of don't know this term, like user generated content. So cool. I'm leaving a review. Here's a photo of me wearing the Okendo jumper of Waldo with his Okendo jumper. Like, you know, and I'm happy to upload this information. Like, tell me more about like, now I've got this photo. Now what?
Yeah. So there's so much you can do with UGC. So one of the best things about Okendo is one, are customizable widget. So the ability for you to really decide like what this widget can look like. One, so it's in line with your brand. You shouldn't realize that this is like a widget. You should not realize this is third party powering. It should be right in line with your website. But being able to decide like if you're an apparel company, like make that photo up front and center. Like that is the stuff that sells. So being able to customize it there, being able to create throughout the website other touch points in which you're showcasing this UGC too. So we have carousels on your homepage. Being able to integrate it into email campaigns. You're going back to acquisition, you know, you can use that UGC as the content of like a Facebook ad, you know, like any of those, you know, display ads that you're doing, you can use that UGC, use it on social, use it anywhere. So it's just the power of that. Plus, you know, as a consumer, just going back to the other side from conversion, you know, if I see a picture of it, and again, like, I can read that we have the same skin type and the same skin tone, but until I see a picture with someone with that makeup, I might not believe that it's going to look good on me. So it's just, we process visuals, I think the 60,000 times faster than we process text. So I think there's so many brands that like, are like, oh, look, you know, the UGC is nice, but if I don't get it, the review is fine. Yes, the review is fine, but UGC will make you convert that more by just putting it there because people relate to those photos better. And I'll be honest, there's a US-based apparel company that I follow. They're not on Shopify, but they do not put photos in their reviews. And the amount of times, I am the worst consumer in the world. It's terrible. I should not be talking about this as someone in e-commerce. I probably order so many extra things, the same thing in three different sizes, all of this. And then return it all. And I always say, if I had seen a picture of what this looked like, I never would have ordered it in the first place. Exactly. And like, it gives you such a good visual of like, is this even what I'm looking for? Mm. Yes or no. So it saves you from returns as well to have that up front.
And I think in so many different verticals as well, like we just launched recently, one of our customers' new rebranded websites, Happy Healthy You. And like the multimedia grid that we have in there just looks absolutely fantastic because they're a women's health brand, but they have literally thousands of images of women talking about their products and explaining what their product has done for them. And I think like much more powerful than any like, you know, beautifully orchestrated marketing photo that you can take with a lot of retouching and it looks nothing like a real human anymore versus like, here's actually a person that is wearing the thing, taking the product, like whatever it is.
You know, and even 5 years or especially 10 years ago, you know, I think the quality of photos that you would have got with your user generated content, you probably could have had an argument that, oh, you can't really use that on social, could you? But nowadays, everyone has got the slickest camera right in their pocket. And so, you know, what you're going to get back, unless that person is, you know, a boomer, that's probably going to be pretty good quality. And you can use that. And I see some of the most successful brands, and this again, it could be the algorithm spitting some of this stuff at me. But what I'm noticing now is I consume quite a lot of reels. And in the real space, sometimes the people are using this UGC so well for their ad that I don't even know it's an ad. I have to just kind of see the sponsored part at the bottom. So I thought that was an actual reel because people are getting crafty with it, you know? So I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to be an influencer and
they're putting
their time into that. But like you said, it's high quality and consumers are smart. They like don't trust your highly produced photos anymore. They want to see like, again, the real authentic version of your product. And that's what builds the trust and what's so important.
I created my first reel this week. I just have to admit here. And it's using the new pen that I bought.
Yeah, the pen. The good old pen.
You know you're in your 30s, right? When this stuff really excites you.
Yeah, 100%. Well, if you can do that, anyone can do that. So, guys, I can't encourage you enough. If you think what we've just been talking about is highly technical and it's super hard to execute on, all you need to do is go and add Okendo to your Shopify space, have a play around. I can guarantee you, you will see all of the user interface is super easy to use. There's going to be templated stuff for you to leverage there. All these new functionalities that's going to come out on Okendo. And trust me, there's going to be plenty more over the coming months and years. I really look forward to seeing how you guys evolve and for us to be part of that journey. And I guess from my side, I just want to thank you for coming on the podcast. Like I said, it's been a while since we've had you guys on here and refreshing to see you guys just grow and flourish in the space.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This is such a great conversation. We love working with you guys at Cyber. And, you know, thank you guys so much for being Okendo advocates and giving us, you know, shouting out to merchants, you know, what they can do. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're here for. We want to help merchants drive revenue. So
100%. And guys, in the notes down the bottom or wherever you're looking at this, there'll be a link to Okendo. There'll be other stuff for you to have a look at. Leave a comment, hit the like button, subscribe, tell us what you want us to talk about next week.
Leave a review. Come
leave
on.
A review. Absolutely.
Refer a friend to the podcast.
No, that was awesome. Hey, Lindsay, thank you so much for your time. We'll wrap it up there. And guys, we will see you all next week.